thanks, Don. If I might, just in starting, give a little bit of background to what I see as being the two themes that the council had in mind in drawing up the five-year plan. And it's been against the background of those two themes that the plan has been drawn up. The first of those themes is that we in Australia, in our everyday lives, are leading edge users of space applications. Those space applications fall into three broad categories. Communications. None of you here, I'm sure, need reminding that every time you switch on the television set and watch your favourite sporting program, whatever that happens to be. For mine, it's the dream of watching Greg Norman win a major in the US some more gold medals at the Commonwealth Games. That's coming via satellite to you. Often when you pick up your telephone, your connection to the other end will be via satellite. And we are obviously amongst the world leaders in that area and will remain so given the geographic and industrial and demographic particulars of Australia. The second main area of use, obviously, is remote sensing, and that's, again, an everyday use at which we are at the leading edge in areas of meteorology, in oceanography, in resource monitoring generally, which is important for agriculture, mining, forestry activities. Remote sensing is also important, obviously, in the areas of surveillance and general geographic information systems. And the third area, which is of growing importance to us, is in the area of global positioning. Nobody who works in outback Australia in remote areas these days would be out there without a little handheld GPS arrangement to tell them precisely where they are on Earth. It's becoming more and more the use of surveying. It's going to be more and more the use of navigation, particularly in aircraft navigation systems and landing systems. So here we are in everyday life, leading edge users and of these applications. But by and large, we rely almost entirely on the space programs of other countries to achieve the goods and services that we need to go into those applications. For example, if we do in the communications area own and operate our own satellites, the Optus series of satellites, however, buy those satellites on orbit. We don't make them in Australia, nor do we launch them. We are a major investor in Intelsat and Inmarsat, and by and large, we don't have much contribution other than our investment into those space systems. In the areas of remote sensing and weather, in all its applications, including meteorology, we rely entirely on the space systems of other countries. And at the moment, we get the remote sensing data we need either free or at a very heavily subsidised rates where we pay anything at all for them. And again, in the area of global positioning, we rely on the United States GPS system. And I think as a council, and certainly personally, I believe that we shouldn't do anything to disrupt that system while ever we are able to get the goods and services we require from other people's space programs at free or heavily subsidised rates. We would be foolish to enter into those areas to change that. However, I think it has been the view of the council that if we are to remain in that way, we ought to at least have some underlying capabilities in not only the space applications areas where we are leading edge users, but in the space segment as well. It would mean then that we were able to be a freeloader on the world's space programs from a position of some strength rather than a position of necessity. So that's theme number one. The second theme has been that In recent times, there has been an emergence of a new, almost a new category of space activities, which are much smaller and which give rise to commercial opportunities for Australia, which probably haven't been present in the past. And here I'm talking about the emergence of small low Earth orbiting satellite systems in a variety of uses in both communications and Earth observation. To date, as we know, the communication satellites area have been by and large in the large geostationary satellites where, for example, the Optus satellite launched a week or so ago probably was of the order of 2 metres by 2 metres square and somewhere between of the order of 25 feet high. So it's the size of a height of a small two-storey building. It probably cost of the order of $300 million plus for the satellite, and to launch it would have cost $50 million plus. A launch on Ariane of a similar sort of satellite would probably cost somewhere of the order of $80 million. And the facility from which that satellite was launched would probably cost to build in today's terms, in other words, the spaceport, would probably be costing of the order of $900 million. And so, thus far, it's been a game that the space segment of which has been largely, I think, beyond the capabilities, certainly in financial terms, if not technically, of Australian industry. And to date, we have seen many expressions of interest in the possibility of, say, developing launch services out of Cape York, but have not come to anything to date. And largely, I think that's probably because it's certainly beyond our financial capabilities. People have not been able to raise the necessary funds to get that established. However, we are seeing, in my view, that of the Council, a change in those situations where people are moving towards small low-Earth orbiting satellites in both the communications and remote sensing spheres. And just to put that into context, this move towards the smaller low-Earth orbiting satellites that I've referred to, just to put that into perspective, that's an SADT satellite, which is the basis of of some of the small satellite systems that are being envisaged. But you can see there, those satellites typically are the size of a television, perhaps twice the height of a domestic television set. They cost, at the very cheap end of the spectrum, something of the order of starting at perhaps as low as $2.5 million a piece, up to, depending on the complexity of what's inside them, tens of millions of dollars, but not hundreds of millions of dollars. Likewise, those small satellites are going to be launched on a new generation, we believe, of launch vehicles. And to put those into perspective, I think you'll see that comes out of the five-year plan, a new generation of launch vehicles, which will be looking at launch vehicles costing of the order of $10 million. If the low-Earth orbiting satellites are to be, and the small sats are to be cost-effective, it does you no good at all to have satellites that can cost you $2.5 million if it's going to cost you hundreds of millions of dollars to launch them. And so there is a moving now towards a generation of new light launch vehicles which are smaller and lower cost. And at the same time, the facilities from which they are going to be launched are going to be smaller and lower cost. And there we put, say, typically a Cape York type exercise, which might be of the order of $900 million, to establish, we believe, facilities around Darwin and Woomera, which could be used for this purpose, could cost less than $20 million. It could be something of the order of something less than $10 million to refurbish Woomera on bare bones. Basis to allow light launches in a polar orbit out of there, and something less than $20 million to start with a greenfield site in Darwin for equatorial launches of light launch vehicles of this nature. We believe then, or the council has believed, that the second theme is that there are commercial opportunities emerging for Australia in this new generation of smaller commercial satellite applications. And it's been the marriage of those two themes, in other words, the desire to develop some underlying capabilities, however rudimentary that might be in Australia, to support our leading-edge space applications, and the commercial opportunities, which underpinned the approach that the Council has taken in developing its five-year plan and the various actions that have been included in there.